Let me tell you why Christians don't have this fight back. You know what happens? We have a doctrine subconsciously accepted that because we're Christians, certain things should not happen. Okay, so it says distribution. Now, many times you don't think it. In other words, what happens is, right, a person feels that if I'm a Christian and the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord and he turns it whichever way he wants, then he should never be turned against me. You get what I'm saying? That what are you talking about? I'm a Christian, I just worshiped God the last Sunday and they sacked me on Monday. You understand what I'm saying? And people feel that there is something wrong when even the heathen understand how to fight back. The use of willpower. All right? But we feel that something has happened that should not happen to us. Like they asked once, let me give you an example. I read this, I add my own to it. They said, listen, it was a Jewish book, and we're talking about the Jewish mentality and why, all right, they succeed. And they said, if God announces, God announces, all right, to a Jewish rabbi, God, and to the Hindu priest, and to the Roman Catholic priest. And it says, or the Hindu, and it says, a flood is coming in 7 days that will wipe out the entire earth. It's going to be this high. That the Roman Catholic priest will say, all of us, let's go and confess our sins so that when we die, we'll be received well. The Hindu person will say, let's go into deep meditation so they'll be transcendental to the new life as it comes. He said, but the Jewish rabbi will say, how many days did God say? They said, 7. He has given us 7 days to figure out how to live underwater. To the Pentecostal pastor, he will say, God forbid. It's not my posture. He will sit down with the house, God forbid. No weapons formed or fashioned against me shall prosper. Return to sender. Don't bring any bad news to my house. God, the water is coming. He's saying, God forbid. I ask you, when there were 7 years of abundance, 7 years of famine, why didn't they say, let us pray that there will be no 7 years of famine? That's what the Christian man would think. Now nothing changes. I know my God. Let's pray. But Joseph said, this is what you do. Proper budgeting. Do you understand this? Management of finance there. Yeah. You'll do this. Organize yourself properly. The Christian will say, listen, my own will be from abundance to abundance, from abundance, and you'll be shaking like this. I said, didn't the Bible says my light will shine brighter and brighter onto a path? This is just the beginning of my abundance. The cost costless shall not come. I'm a child of the king. You understand what I'm saying there? So, greatness there, all right, consistency there. You apply that and you push back. So, you are rejoicing in hope, right? You are steadfast in what you are doing, not, all right, here and there like a pendulum. You are steadfast in it. And then you take that steadfastness, it says, also into the place of prayer. Where he tells us here, continuing instant in prayer, that with respect to prayer, you persevere in it continually. Now, what do we mean by this? Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18 and verse 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to do what? Faint. And what we are saying is that, you know, a man who is patient there, he remains under and he perseveres when others are gone. Most people, something gets difficult in a company, they just testified about how God brought them there, they will resign. A business, you know, gets difficult, they will pull out, they will close down the business. Right? They can't remain under unfavorable circumstances, pushing for the fulfillment of something. Luke chapter 18 and verse 1, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men always ought to pray and not to do what? Faint. That's to give up. Remember, he sold his birthright because he was tired. Saying there was in a city a judge, feared not God, which means he didn't have any regard. You say God, you don't have no consciousness of God. And had no regard for any man. And there was a widow in that city. So whether she was a widow or not, that's what he's trying to tell you. Didn't have any regard for that. No feelings. And she came to him saying, avenge me of my adversary. And he will not for a while, which means that while wasn't even too long. But afterward, he said within himself, out of selfishness now, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming. Jesus was showing us the power of continually pushing for the same thing. By her continual coming, she'll wear me and respect that thing. If anybody keeps coming to me continuously for something, if I know in God I'm not to give them, I stop them from coming continuously. Because if they do, they wear me out. That's why I tell single sister, I say he's an unbeliever, but I'm talking to him. If you don't want him, don't let him talk. Because, and I'll show you this, if he keeps coming, the Bible will show you Samson, Delilah kept coming. She kept. First time he said this, second time he said this, you cut it off or it gets you. I've told this story many times, but it's always a good story. A friend of mine in UI told me a story there. He's a pastor now. And he said, listen, there was this guy, I'm going to show you this, power of consistency. He wanted to, he didn't look good, he didn't dress well, he didn't know anything about social something, he was good in his book, but he just found love in his heart for this big chick who was in his campus, the real campus girl. So he went to meet his friend who, used to have girlfriends. He said, listen to me, I have a problem. I said, what's your problem? He said, I love this girl. It's not that I wanted to, I found the love in me. I can't sleep properly, I just keep thinking about her. What can you do to help me? How can I date her? The guy said, you have one chance. Do what I'm saying. This is your only chance. He said, obey these instructions. And that's what we're telling you. Obey the instructions of God. He said, this is your only chance to get it done. You don't have, you're not fine, you don't have anything, nothing. He said, so what do I do? He said, now you obey what I'm about to tell you. Every day. There must be no break. Even if you are sick, go and do it. At 8 o'clock, not 7:51, not 8:05, 8 o'clock. Her hall was Queen Elizabeth Hall. Get there. Even if you get there 7:45, stay somewhere else. 8 o'clock, come and knock. When she opens, do not ever say you like her, or else they will chase you away from that place. Don't say that you love her or you have any feelings for her. This is what you will do. You will sit down, you will teach her, you will crack jokes, she will laugh, you will do that and leave after some time. Do not say you like her. He said, do you understand? Yes. Because she's formidable at that point and drive you forever. So, he will go there, she will thought, he's just, this one can't bend. He will crack jokes, she will laugh. After some time, let's say her name was Zika, his name was Dave. Zika's friends now saw her laughing and said, Zika, it looks like there's something happening between you and Dave. Said, me and Dave. God forbid. Is it because, look at what you people are saying? But Dave kept doing what his instructor told him. Every day, 8 o'clock, he would knock. After 6 weeks, he went back to instructor. Instructor, sir, I've completed my assignment of 6 weeks, 8 o'clock. She laughed, enjoyed my presence. I taught her things. She gained her grades are going up. He said, all right, next thing you do now is you disappear. You must not be found in the class nowhere. Do it for 10 days. Dave disappeared. Zeka got to class, no Dave. 8 o'clock the next day, no knock. The day after, no knock. Her friend, she said, come, have you seen Dave anywhere? He said, Dave, we were warning you. He said, please, that's not it. I'm just bothered about him. Maybe it's someone that comes around. I'm just bothered. Just to find out. She got to the class. She said, have you seen Dave anywhere? They said, the friend said, we have been looking for him. I hope nothing. I went to work. Look, now, why don't you look for him? You guys don't even seem concerned. What, he's not in the room? No. He's not anywhere? No. And what's going on now? So, after 10 days, 12 weeks, he said, Dave, you can go back. 8 o'clock, Dave knocked again. Quickly, she heard the knock at 8. She opened. Dave, where have you been? Dave said, well, you know, I had to do this. So Dave continued to crack jokes, said, do not say anything at that point. The harvest is not here. Do not say anything. Dave continued. He did it. She laughed. After 3 weeks, he said, now, disappear from everywhere. Dave disappeared again. He said, now, stay in your room. If Zika comes to meet you in your room, the harvest has come. Zika sought him. Finally, she went to the room. Dave, where have you been? He said, you know what? I just had to leave you. Why? He said, you don't understand this. You know, I didn't want to say it, but you know, my heart. What didn't you want to say? You know, I don't want to say it. No, it won't be right. I started developing. Say it. No, I was developed. Say it now. You don't know what's in my own heart, too. Say it. He said, you know, I don't have these feelings for you. Hey, so what does that mean? You know, I don't know how to. I don't know, but what does it mean if you have feelings? He said, but I don't know whether we could be in a relationship. Yes! I didn't say you should go and practice that principle. What I'm there. Well, I put it out there. So you understand if a Dave comes to see you now and he's cracking jokes, you say, Dave, we know this one. Dave, oh, yeah, be going. A woman will lay similar. Go. Dave, go. Are you going to say that? But what's the wisdom in what we are saying? No matter how far the vision seems from you, if every 8 o'clock you are confessing it is yours, are you following what I'm saying? At the set times you are declaring and calling it into existence as though it were. Are you following this? You are rejoicing and enjoying the feeling of being in possession of it. What you are looking for that you think is far will one day be asking you, receive me into your house. Do you understand what I'm saying? So, it says, shall God not avenge them speedily? But will he find this kind of faith? Lastly, it now goes on, and this is where we now get into love. So that's faith now. Then he begins to talk about love. He says, distributing to the necessity of what? Saints. He begins to tell us about love. With respect to the needs of saints, be a sharer. Which means what you are doing when you are quietly waiting for the Lord. All right, you are now involved in helping saints. You come to church, you understand that this is what this principle is. You look around, all right? Not for the person that you just walk in to come and beg you. You understand? People can have organized begging. That's not what we're saying here. But you are looking around. You see a lady, all right, carrying, you know, maybe her child, and she has difficulty putting child in the car with this. You say, look, let me help you, all right, with this pram and all that. And you fix everything and do that, right? You see somebody having problem with their tire. You don't drive past and be going. That somebody will help them. You park and say, can I help? Are you following what I'm saying here? You are now conscious about, all right, the needs of it. I've said this before, a young lady in this church, right, she wrote me a mail. Now she's working in Amazon. She started on Monday. But she went out of here in faith. I went to University of Chicago to do her master's. She was $25,000 short. She wrote me one time. She said, Pope, you said, listen to me. You don't know what God did for me. I said, what? She said, listen, I didn't want to tell you. She said, but I was confessing the word of God and praying. And I was told in my school, this was on Tuesday, that by Friday you will have to leave, board the plane and come back to Nigeria. Said, I kept confessing, then I remembered the messages in church. Said, then I saw an elderly woman in the snow in Chicago struggling to move. And I said, that's my miracle. That's the person I can help. You see, you might be saying I'm reaching for 30 million, but you have 300,000 in your pocket. That doesn't mean anything in the light of 30 million. But there's somebody that 20,000, the impact of it on the soul of that person is the same thing 30 million is on your own soul. All right, if you can find that Christian that has that genuine need and you meet it with that 20,000, you've opened up a door somewhere. That's what the law states there. All right, so what happens is that she went there and she saw the woman and helped her. Said they got into the grocery, she wanted to buy groceries into the supermarket, and this woman, you know, will go, she'll forget things, and then they'll go back. Said, Pastor, I stayed with my miracle. This is what she said. Said, we'll get there. Said, oh, I forgot milk. Said, I followed her back. Is it milk? I got it. Said, I stayed with my miracle. I stayed with her until I got her home. Then she turned back and said, I'm a Christian, you know, over there, you have to ask for permission. Can I pray for you? All right? And said, yes. Said, she also is a Christian. And the woman blessed her. Said the next morning, she got a call from the Dean of Student Affairs. Said, please, could you come quickly to my office? She entered into the office, and the dean said, listen, I should get you to sign an undertaking here of non-disclosure because I want to do something. That somebody who donates to this school this morning called and said he has an extra $25,000, and he dropped it. Now, we are to distribute it equally among all the students who have applied for facility, but something on the inside tells me I should give you everything. Not just to cover this semester, but your next semester there. And that's how she got $25,000. In the snow of Chicago, in a hopeless situation, she understood distributing the necessity of saints. Now, let me tell you the gospel truth on the Bible. If she saw that woman and she did not respond to her heart, and God gave her another chance the next day, she did not respond, that evening she did not respond, she'll be in service today. She'll be in service. Are you following what I'm saying? She got a job with Amazon. I know if you listen well, if you listen to Bishop Kip Butler, he said, when you do those kind of things, results keep coming for them for a long time. So with respect to the needs of saints, all right, now quickly I have to run through this. Then be given to hospitality. Think, be hospitable to people. Yes, I was coming from Abuja and I was doing something and somebody, the steward, walked past me. And he, or maybe when I was going, and I think he was carrying sweets and he asked. But you know, I was so engaged, engrossed in one of the things that I didn't, I responded, but I was looking down. Well, after, mainly walked past, the Holy Ghost told me, said, that chap feels a slight loss of self-esteem from the way you responded. He could be a graduate. He might even have a very good grade, but no good job. And he's there distributing sweets, and that kind of thing happens, and his heart sinks. He said, before you leave the plane, say something to him. All right? Which means instead of just walking out, turn and shake him. That will put something back into him. Giving to hospitality there. All right? We can't go too much into this. But great things have happened. The Bible says some have entertained angels unawares. Giving, right, to hospitality there. Then he says, bless them that persecute you. Look, love is an action word. That word love, agape, it is not a feeling. To be kindly affectionate is a feeling. That's not that word. That word there is an action, which means you can't have love without doing something to people. For God so loved the world that he did something. So when he says you're walking in love, it means you are doing something. It's not just I feel something or I think something. You are doing something. In other words, he says, those that persecute you, bless them. So you know what I want to ask people? And this is where, because what really blocks faith is having aught in your heart against. Jesus said, when you want to give, if you have aught in your heart. He says, when you want to pray, if you have something in your heart. Now, many people, the last place of obedience that you need to get back to, and I'll show this, is how, this is a question I want to ask you. How did you bless? Can you describe to me how you blessed somebody that persecuted you? Which means, what did you do to bless the person? I'm not saying you said, no, it doesn't hurt me again. I've forgiven the person. No. What did you do to do what? Bless that person. If you can't describe what you did, then go and talk to God about it. If you feel they cheated you there, there was a promotion exercise, the person you felt, what did you do to bless that person? I will say this without the knowledge of that person. These little instructions are the things where we are missing it. It says, bless them that persecute you. And then it goes on and says, all right, okay, curse not. Now rejoice with them that rejoice, which means be happy. You know, things are happening for people. Rejoice with them. Weep with them that weep. Let me tell you something about we Christians. We are good with you when you are good. But have a problem that will affect our image. The association with you will soil my image. Are you following what I'm saying? Boys, we leave you as fast as possible. You understand this? I mean, I respected Dr. Crawford. I was somebody he knew. And this man was being accused of something, one of the worst things you can ever do in ministry. He told me, he said, listen, I said I will stick with this man. People called me. Your reputation is at stake. He said, this is my brother. We came into Atlanta together. We struggled together. Somebody has to help him out of this. Recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of men. I will close with this. If it's possible, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For vengeance is mine, I will repay. Therefore, if thine enemy be hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him drink. For in doing so, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Now, someone says, well, that's what God is saying, that we should heap fire on their head. Which means you will suffer for what you have done when I do good to you. All right? You didn't promote me, but you see, I will help you carry your bag. So you, when you get home, it will pain you inside. But when he says heap coals of fire, it was an Egyptian olden days kind of ritual where you are carrying some, like I'm making an atonement to avert the judgment that should come on somebody for their wrongdoing. In other words, this is what God is saying, and this is why it's so powerful. God says, listen, they offended you, they did wrong, justice, I will judge it. But he says, you know, there's something else you can do. Since it is you that suffered the injury, according to the law, the injured man, if he drops charges and says, I'm not pressing the case, the law will drop charges. He says, now you can do something. If you come to me and say, I got injured by this person's act, but I'm asking you to drop the charges, he said those charges will be dropped. In other words, Jesus on the cross said, Father, all charges over these people dropped. For they know not what they are doing. They didn't intend to cause this damage. Father, I ask you to drop the charges. Listen, that's how the resurrection power worked for Jesus. Because what happened to Job was that God wanted to get him out. And when you get to the place where God wants, this is what happens. God wanted to get him out. The friends got in, injured Job further. God told the friends, you will face judgment unless you can get the person you offended to drop charges. Go and meet him. When Job prayed for them and dropped all charges over them, God turned his own captivity around. Abimelech got into problem with Abraham. God said, it's only Abraham that can help you because it's Abraham you injured. If he drops the charges, they are dropped. The womb of everybody was closed. When he got to Abraham, Abraham prayed for him and released him. And Sarah, God bless it. So when you are locked in that controversy, follow the way of love. Let me tell you what Ruth did. It was this morning when I was praying, I saw it. For the first time in my life, I just felt Ruth was loyal. She was loyal. But I said, how do you figure this out? Ruth followed. And you know what Ruth was saying? Ruth, what Naomi told her, I said, here are your chances of ever getting married. Leave me alone. Told them, say, you better go. I said, because he's kingsman's redeemer. Number one, I will have to get married at my old age. He says, even if it happens tonight and I marry, then I conceive. You know, there must be boys again. Because you might not conceive boy. So you wait for boy. You say, even if it happens, they have to grow old and then they must desire to marry you. Say, so what are your chances of what? Getting married. You know what Ruth must have thought? As she saw Naomi going, maybe with the stick, walking. Said, this is a woman. When I was a Moabite, I came into this Jewish family. They rejected me. This woman stood for me, stabilized me here. Said, listen. If I perish with this, I perish. I can't walk away from somebody who invested this much in me and say that I'm going on my own selfish interest. I will follow you. I will help you carry your luggage. Wherever you are going, I will go with you. It was an act of love. She followed love, and love took her to where she exceedingly abundantly above. Listen, when you look at all the options around you, look for the love option. Are you following what I'm saying here? Look for, listen, there are many things you can do. But if love says, here is the option here, go with love option. And what's the love option? We have seen that Christian love means an unconquerable benevolence, an invisible goodwill, which means no matter what you do to us, you can't conquer us being benevolent. We will give. All right? An invisible goodwill. No matter what any man does to him, the Christian will never cease to seek that man's highest good. No matter how he is insulted, ignored, all right, wronged and slandered, the Christian will not hate and will never let bitterness into his heart. That's what it means to be a Christian. And when you get to that point, you enter into what? Right? The same way Ruth walked into something she wasn't even thinking about. You walk into something. All right. You are not. But you follow the love way. I look at it and say, what is the highest, what is the most honorable thing I can do in God here? Even if you want to say it is in this person's interest that this person should be sacked, what way can I sack this person for to serve this person's highest good? What will be the best way to lay this person off? And you pray about it and you think about it. Yes, you're going. Because if you stay here, you will spoil everything. But what is the best way to lay this person off? You understand this? But you consider things as the best way. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you for your word. And by the power of your spirit, I ask that you establish us in this truth and in all righteousness. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening.